Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I was able to get signed to my favorite team, my hometown team. And I am a hooper by trade, but no, I wasn't going to play for the Warriors anytime soon. I'll take the alternative road, and it all worked out for sure.
Before they get in your business, be in charge of your business. Own it, cause it's your business, business. Handle all of your business, value all.
What's up, good people? It's March Madness, baby, and my Huskies are doing their thing. I'm going to talk all about it in my monologue about, you know, how the UConn Huskies are the only school to win men and women on both sides, 2004 and 2014, at the same time, baby, okay? So that's the UConn Huskies. I'm going to talk all about it. And then we have Mazin, newly signed rapper for Golden State Warriors Entertainment. It's crazy to see sports and entertainment mix, and Golden State is doing it at a completely different level. We already talked to Rhymefest previously. We had a conversation with David Kelly, and now we're going to talk to Mazin. It's up, baby. March Madness is here, and my Huskies are showing out. Let's go! First of all, before I get into the madness that is March, there's madness going on all around. The crew's not with us this week. We're doing a MoCo exclusive, but Snook and all of them over in West Virginia, there's a tornado going, like a tornado flew around my room before you came. There's a tornado happening right now in West Virginia. I'm filming this on Tuesday. And it's crazy because they're supposedly not supposed to be getting power back, Wi-Fi back, anything back until Thursday when you're actually listening to this podcast. So there's a tornado going on and there's going to be a lot of extraness happening. And Snook was mad because she was like, man, I had some good stuff to say about those games last night. So I was like, Snook, all right, listen, what'd you have to say? She's like, I wanted to tell them the good, the bad, and the ugly of everything that's going on. First of all, I got scared because y'all know Snook. When she speaks her mind, that is Snook, and she's going to say what she needs to say. And that's my mama, so I'm going to let her say it. But Snook, I had to give her some space for her to tell her good, the bad, and the ugly. While there's a tornado going on in West Virginia right now, check it out real quick. Okay, what was you going to say about March Madness?
I was going to do March Madness, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
And what was it going to be?
The good was going to be all of the talk that's now surrounding women's basketball. You know, you hear more people talking about women's basketball than you ever have in the past. So that's always a good sign when your sport is uplifted.
Definitely.
Okay.
What's the bad?
The bad is all of the talk that goes on, it seems to be around one individual player, which is, you know, okay. But, you know, we need to spread the love. There's all kinds of players out there who don't receive the recognition or the accolades, you know, that are out there now that are just being talked about for, you know, individual players. And one of the things I say is that I was watching the games with my grandkids, and so one of them said, oh, I didn't know Kelsey Mitchell held that title, because when she held the title, it wasn't talked about like the title is now. You see what I'm saying? Some of the records that are being broke, the people who held them, you never even knew they held them because it's not even talked about. You know, it's never talked about. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
We have players who, you know, who've held the records who weren't even, didn't receive half of the publicity or the, you know, the kudos or whatever that, you know, is out there now for just one individual. I think it should be spread amongst all of the players for it to continue to grow big.
Okay, so that's the good and the bad. Now, what's the ugly?
The refereeing. And I don't know.
You thought it was bad? I thought last night was good.
The journalists can't talk about the refs. I know the coaches can't talk about the refs. And the players can't talk about the refs. But can I talk about the refs?
But I thought last night was actually pretty good.
Well, I'm just saying, well, I'm specific now. I'm just saying, in general,
okay,
it makes you really, you know, you can say, oh, this team on paper looks good, da, 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 but you always have to factor in the refs.
I love that, Snook. So that's your good, bad, and ugly. When it comes to...
See, I had it all. I was going to have it all together.
Well, you had it all together because I'm going to play this. So this is great. Thank you for that. And stay safe over there. Goodness, this tornado warning is crazy.
I wanted to get to the ugly, you know, to talk about this. Because everybody can't talk about the refs, but can I?
I know I can. So this is where I leave you. Bye, Snookabooka.
Bye-bye, baby.
Again, I understand what she's saying. We talk about the growth of the women's game all the time. I have this concept in my mind of I envision it as a volcano. And if women's basketball was a volcano, I feel like everything happening this year with college basketball and women's college basketball, it's about to make the volcano erupt. And when the volcano erupts, I hope that everyone's cup overfloweth. So that's what I have to say about Snook's good, bad, and ugly, because I get what she's saying. You know, you got to remember, she's been in this thing since before there was even a WNBA, when I started playing basketball. So when I started playing basketball, there was no such thing as the league. So we've watched the league be formed. I've been a part of the league, and now we want to watch the league explode. I'm still a part of the league, being with the Atlanta Dream. So as I always say, we come in peace with passion, baby. Like we want the best for our leagues. And so that brings me to the Final Four and everything that led up to it. All the things that are March Madness. So if you were living under a rock, get from up under there, because it's going crazy right now. We had probably one of the biggest nights, not only in women's basketball for college, but in sports. I'm talking about, it was star-studded, the energy that was around it. Travis Scott is saying he can't wait until to see this matchup between LSU and Iowa. Tim McGraw's pulling up in his LSU hoodie, repping his set. You had Boosie commenting. You had just a lot of entertainment people tapped in, engaged on these games, these storylines, the rematch of last year's national championship game. The energy was there. The table was set. And boy, did we have theater, honey. They gave us everything we wanted and more. The players' stars shine. The players played well. I mean, you had an Angel Reese and her crew who, when I tell you the energy that they bring, the entertainment that they bring along with that energy, it's fun to watch. Honestly, it's fun to watch Flage when she's on the court. Y'all know that she's a rapper and she has a flow to it. She has a flow to her game too that's smooth. There's like a certain rhythm and essence to her game that is just fun to watch. And then you had Caitlin Clark who was just pull up. I'm talking about pulling up from deep, 27 feet, 30 feet. She was just hitting shots. You could tell that she focused on her demeanor and just making sure that she was just locked in at all times. Everything that we could have wanted out of that game, we got it. You know, we had Angel Reese foul out, then boom, their post player fouled out. It was just fun to watch. And then as if that wasn't enough, then we had the doubleheader of my squad, my UConn Huskies, and we was matching up against Juju Watkins and the USC Trojans, which, come on now, come on now. Y'all know the history of USC, Cheryl Miller, and all of those amazing hoopers back in the day. And now to fast forward, I saw somebody say on Twitter, this is why I love Twitter. They said, if you watch Love and Basketball, y'all know the ladies on the set, they was like, you know, you're only here because so-and-so got pregnant. And they had to give you her spot. Well, the lady that said that, they said Juju Watkins is her daughter. They're connecting it to Love and Basketball because that's the USC where it was filmed. But I love the storylines. I love being on Twitter live when the games were going on, because I'm talking about everybody and they mama was watching. Nobody, that's all you were watching. And it was crazy because I know there was a whole nother world. I went on there and I saw that Beyonce accepted an Innovators Award from Stevie Wonder. What? When did that happen? It happened during the game. That's why we missed it. because you know I don't like to miss a lot when it comes to Beyonce. I'm Cowboy Montgomery, baby. We on our country genre. We on our country thing. I'm here. We are here. I got my alligator tears. At the Final Four, I'm going to be wearing my Levi's jeans, blazers. I guess I'm part of the Bay Hive. I've never even said this out loud, but I guess I'm like really one of them. I didn't even realize I was one of them until I was in Club Renaissance. And I realized, like, there's no difference from me to them. I was going crazy just as much as they were. I was singing every song bar for bar, word for word, just like they were. So I'm in here. Bay Hive, what's good? Like, we out here. I'm here. But I digress. Back to the Final Four. So those games happened, and it set the stage for the Final Four on the men and women's side. So now the Final Four we have on April 5th, the women is coming up is NC State is matching up, number three squad matching up against the number one team, South Carolina, who, by the way, has kind of been, it's crazy to be undefeated and fly under the radar. But in some way, South Carolina is doing that because the storylines are just, you see a lot of different storylines and they're not maybe one of them, but they're still undefeated and probably the team to beat. They're playing at 7 p.m. That's going to be a fun game to watch because, as I mentioned, South Carolina, they've had close games, but they figured out how to win each time, whether it's a Camila Cardoso three or whether it's just grinding it out and figuring it out. And NC State, we saw what they was doing. I mean, them girls, let it fly. If it don't apply, let it fly, baby. Shooting lights out, playing great. And then we have the number three squad, my UConn Huskies, they're going up against the number one team, Iowa. So we got two number three versus one matchups. They're playing after NC State and South Carolina. Man, come on. You can't write a better storyline than this. Paige Beckers going up against Caitlin Clark. We've already met twice before. These two squads have already met. UConn is 2-0 in those meetings. I'm sure Caitlin Clark knows that. Any athlete would. I'm sure Paige Beckers, you know, like she knows that she wants to get back to the top. Dan Hurley said the queen is coming for her throne. That's why I love Coach Hurley, man, over there on the men's side. It's because at UConn, it really is a community. I know that you hear Duke, they call it the brotherhood, the sisterhood. It really is like that at UConn as well. And I love when I see the programs just connect and become one. And speaking of becoming one, so on the men's side, now I'm talking about the women's side, but on the men's side, they've reached their Final Four as well. There's two schools that have both the men and women in the Final Four. This is the first time that's ever happened. NC State men, who are the number 11 seed. And y'all, their story is crazy. So you might not follow college all year long. I understand if you don't, because there's a lot of games, a lot of teams on a lot of nights. So if you haven't been following NC State, let me give you a little recap. They wouldn't have even been in the tournament if they didn't win 5 games in 5 days to win their conference tournament and get an automatic bid into the NCAA tournament. Let that sit for a second. NC State, who is now in the Final Four, the number 11 seed, had to win 5 games in 5 days to even have the opportunity to be in the NCAA tournament. Then not only did they enter the tournament, but they proceeded to go on this, you can't call it anything but magical run. Now, I know a lot of people, NC State, when you think of magical runs, you might think of the 1983 team who went into the tournament with a 17 and I think it was 14 record. Actually, they went into with a 17 and 10 record and they went on to win a national championship. This team entered with a 17 and 14 record. They lost their last 4 games of the season and then won 5 games in 5 days and they ain't lost since. So having said all of that, they're going up against what people call the powerhouse because of Purdue. They have Zach Edey, who is, I'm talking about, two-time. Well, he hasn't been named yet player of the year, but last year he was the player of the year. Pretty much no question he's going to be national player of the year again this year. He's a force in the paint. That team is going up against it's David and Goliath. There's no other way to describe that matchup. A number 11 seed going against a number one seed. And then we got my UConn Huskies again back at it in the Final Four. They're the number one seed, and they're going up against the number four seed in Alabama. I'm trying to give you guys a crash course on all things Final Four right now because the storylines are there. Alabama's a team that if you like a lot of scoring and you like when people, their coach has a concept. He only wants threes, layups, or free throws. Forget everything else in between. That's Alabama. They've scored 100 points more than 10 times this season. They can let it fly. They can roll. They can go. And they're going up against my UConn Huskies where top to bottom, pound for pound, what's up? Like, what's up? I'm talking about we got Tristan Newton, Cam Spencer, Stephon Castle, who's probably going to be an NBA draft pick this year. I see he's already on the boards. Donovan Klingon, he's on the boards to be on NBA draft list. And the same for the women. You know, Camila Cardoso already declared for the draft. You know, she's going to be a lottery pick. The storylines are writing themselves. Y'all know I'm rolling with my Huskies, point blank, period. I feel like we got a 50-50 chance. At least one of these squads needs to come out with a championship. But it's going to be exciting. It's going to be star-studded. Honestly, I'm mad I can't be in two places at one time. I want to be in Cleveland at the Women's Final Four while I'm also in Phoenix at the men's, because I'll be covering it with CBS. So tap in with me, CBS Sports. We're going to be at the Final Four for the men's, doing the pregame shows, the postgame shows, doing all the breakdowns, all the everything. But you better believe, honey, you better believe that I'm going to have my eye on what's going on in Cleveland, because everybody will. Like, when I'm saying everybody, I mean everybody. And one more thing before I go. I told y'all last week that I was going to tell y'all about when I went to have tea with the VP. So speaking of women's sports and everything going on, the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, had a women in sports reception, but I like to call it a tea party. What? And we had tea and it was a party. My homies was there. I mean, like, all the homies were there. Swin Cash, Jemele Hill, Carrie Champion, Lisa Leslie was there, Shanae Agumake. I mean, like, it was like there were Jessica Berman, the commissioner of the NWSL, Val Ackerman, the commissioner of the Big East. It was just Billie Jean King and the Women's Foundation through the event. It was a vibe. It was a whole vibe. It was everything that I hoped it would be. LaChyna Robinson was there. Shouts to the homie. I mean, it was, every time I saw somebody else that was there, I was like, yo, what's good? Doris Burke was there. Oh my gosh. And I'm so glad I remember this, because guess what Doris Burke told me? Doris Burke told me. She literally said, I love everything you're doing, Renee. Okay, sorry. I know I hyped it up, but anytime Doris says anything, and you know that she's the legend, the trailblazer, and she's watching you and watching me. And yeah, that was crazy. I loved everything about it. It was like, it was a women's sports link up for real. We had the NFL assistant coaches there. We had like a little bit of everything. There was softball there. There was soccer there. There was basketball. There was football. There were all the sports there, because women are in all of sports. March Madness, baby. I tried to tell you, it's getting crazy and we're going all the way. Let's go, Huskies. Man, so that's all I got. But as I mentioned, keep tabs on everything going on social media, on the women's side of the game, because if it's up, if it's up, if it's up, then it's stuck. And it's up, baby. Let's go. And coming up next, we have Mazin, who is the newly signed athlete. You know, he played in high school. Athlete turned rapper for Golden State Entertainment. And it makes me think about all these athletes, though, that are multi-talented. We got in the Final Four, we got DJ Burns, who has I'm a Beast, Boy, I'm a Beast. He got a single out. Then we know Flage. Come on now, she really got that. She's really built like that. She got a new single out called It Ain't My Fault. We love that sports entertainment mix, and we're going to talk all about it with Mazin next. I appreciate you joining me, Mazin. I can already tell, like, I heard you talk a little bit. I can already tell you got a voice.
I appreciate it.
You got a little voice on you that it's like, okay, I already see, I can hear it in there. All right, so listen, you're the first ever musician to sign a recording contract with a sports team, Golden State Warriors Entertainment. division of Golden State's entertainment. Like, you're an Oakland native. You wasn't hooping. You didn't know you was going to get a contract, but you ended up getting a contract. What is that like?
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. I was able to get signed to my favorite team, my hometown team. And, you know, I tell everybody it's so surreal. And it's wild. You know, I never expected it. Like you said, I am a hooper by trade, but no, I wasn't going to play for the Warriors anytime soon. So I'll take the alternative road. And, you know, it all worked out for sure.
No, so you said you're a hooper by trade. So I have this theory about like artists, entertainers, and athletes. There's something synonymous with all of us, right? Like you see that there's friends, groups, and everything. What is it? Like, what is that thing? Because I'm a hooper. I know it. You're an artist.
Oh, you're a hooper. All right.
Come on now. So what do we have in common, Mason? Like, it's like there's something we all know we got.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's creativity. I think, you know, when you're on the court, you're always thinking of creative ways to get to the basket, creative ways to stop somebody on defense, creative ways to get your man open, you know, all these different things. That's the main thing that we have in common. You know, it's the creative mind to work around a problem and really create our best selves, whether it's in the booth or on the court or on a field. You know, we're just constantly creating new ways to be our best. And that's it.
That's facts. And so you recently created something. You have an upcoming EP, Things Left Unsaid, is set to release on April 5th. How was it like working on a project that you're about to release to the world? You know, you're almost putting yourself out there. How is it like, how much do you want to tell of yourself? And how much is it like, I'm going to keep this part to me? Like, where is that balance that you find?
Yeah. So for me, you know, my biggest outlet in life is music. You know, it's music and sports. That's the way that I express myself. So if I'm not in the booth and I'm not on a court doing all these things that express myself, there's no way for me to really have that outlet. I'm not a huge talker. I like to just show and prove and just do things. So I try to be as vulnerable as I can with the music. I want people to get more insight into my personality through the music. Because I'm not the most, you know, I won't say shy or nothing like that, but I'm very to myself, you know, and for somebody like that in the music space, it's definitely a lot harder. So the biggest thing for me to do is be myself and express myself in the ways that I know how to. So it's really exciting to have the EP coming out. This one's a lot different because it's mostly love songs and songs that are connected to relationships and different things like that. But, you know, it's incredible. It's incredible to work on this body of work, and I'm super excited. I'm glad GSE is supporting me and, you know, taking the time to support the project, and it's going to be great.
I love that. So I heard you say it's relationships and love letters. Now, what was it, the brothers, or which one was it where did you ask these people if you could tell y'all's love story? Are you telling people stories? Are any stories going to come back to bite you that you're telling? Like, what's the vibes there in telling history?
It just summarizes my experiences for the most part. You know, I take a lot of things that happen in other people's lives as well, but I would say that this one is pretty true to like the ups and downs and the turmoil of a relationship. So like there might be, you know, song one might be Hot Coffee, and that's a real like kind of positive, uplifting, like, you know, hot coffee, just want to wake it up, you know what I mean? So, and then the next song might be like a, you know, more down song. Like I have this song called Try on there with Tyler Lauren, and it's more so about like trying to work through our issues. And so I expect this project to kind of like take you through a chronological, you know, experience of what a relationship kind of is in my eyes.
No, that's fire. And so you mentioned Hot Coffee, and I know that you had like a recording session. There was a Golden State Warriors player in your recording session. Like, tell me about this whole session. And then how is the vibes in the studio when you got other people there?
Yeah, so we were in San Francisco. We set it up to where Rex Life could come through and do his verse for the song. Just so happens, Kevon was free on that day, Kevon Looney. So he pulled up to the studio. This was maybe like my third or fourth interaction with Kevon, so we know each other by now. And, you know, he's always a good vibe. He brought his brothers to the studio, all kinds of stuff. David Kelly, the CFO for the Warriors, came through. Yeah, it was a pretty jam-packed session. It was a lot of... A lot of people, DJ D-Sharp from the Warriors came through as well. Like, everybody was there, you know. So it was incredible. It was really dope to watch Rex Life do his thing because he's an incredible talent too. So whenever you can get, you know, for me, whenever I can be with somebody like that in the studio, it definitely motivates me to just go harder and, you know, pick up the pace a little bit. Yeah, it was crazy. Kevon is a funny dude. Like, He's hilarious as well. So he was.
You know somebody's funny when you start laughing after you say their name and say they're funny.
Right, it's like, right.
You know he's for real funny. But speaking of, you said David Kelly. We actually are going to have him on the show coming up.
Okay.
But we also had Ron Fest on the show recently.
I watched.
That's what's up. And so he mentioned. So you saw where he mentioned that the reason that he likes this collaboration with GSC is because sometimes as an artist, when you're creating your craft, you're almost having to plan the rollout and the marketing, and it goes into how you're almost creating the music. How does that for you in a sense of, do you see that now where creating your music, you also have to create your rollout and marketing, and does that take a play into how you create your music?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, more now than ever, it's so important to have a good rollout and a plan and everything, because our media is, you know, it all goes through social media. You know, you have to have the reels, you have to have the TikToks, you have to have the posts, and people want to know that you're still doing these things and staying relevant and working hard. They want to see you working hard. You can't just tweet it out and tell them, you know, they want to see the rollout. They want to see behind the scenes. All these things are things that we should be thinking about. And that's what I think that Rhymefest did a great job of with his project. You know, they came out with the visuals, all the different conversations that they had on the album. It was a very, very, very good project. So yeah, I think more than anything right now, you know, because I see a lot of things where I'm like, the music's okay, but the rollout is crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, fact. So what's the rollout for Things Left Unsaid going to look like? Like, you know, what's your vision for that on how you want to present it?
Yeah. So how I want to present it is I have the video for Hot Coffee, obviously.
Okay.
So that's already out. And then I have another video. I don't know how much I'm allowed to really say, but
well, you got your peoples on the call, so that's
okay. Well, yeah. So I'm gonna have that song. I'm also gonna have another song that's coming out with Rex Lifeirage that has a video as well. In between that, you know, I'm curating all the reels, all the TikToks, and all the things that can drive traffic to the project. And other than that, you know, I think, like I said earlier, just being authentically myself.
But you just released a song, Wagwan, I believe that's how it's called, on Friday recently. What's the story behind that? I have some friends that I've heard say that plenty of times. Shouts to Tina Charles, who's on the Atlanta Dream right now. So tell me about Wagwan.
So Wagwan, it's actually a super interesting story, and the world doesn't know this story yet. That's part of my rollout. I'm planning a little video to talk about it. So basically, I don't know if you guys remember when Drake was about to drop his album For All the Dogs. He was going to drop it maybe a couple months ago. I had gotten a request, because I write a lot and do a lot of things for other people. I'd gotten a request to submit some songs for Drake and various other artists. But I made a song that was in AI. It was my first time ever using like AI to do other people's voices. Originally, the song was a Drake, Travis Scott, and Kendrick Lamar song.
Whoa, it's a headliner.
It started as that, and then time went on, the song didn't get selected, obviously, and then I ended up changing it back to my voice, doing all the backgrounds and doing all the things that would make it an amazing song rather than a Drake and Kendrick and Travis Scott song. And that's how Wagwan kind of came about. I had the idea for it. I wanted to make like an island vibe kind of thing go on. And and here we are now.
So how is it? Because we've talked to some writers before. How do you choose what part of the writing to give away and what type to keep for your own? I mean, I think in Kanye's documentary, that was one of his biggest struggles. He's like, I should have never gave that song. He's like, he was almost mad at the songs and the stuff he gave away. Like, how do you choose what to keep for yourself and what to write for others?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's very situational. And it's all feeling, you know. There's certain songs where I'm like, all right, this one is so personal to me, I could never give it away, you know. Even if it never comes out, this is something that is mine. It's for me, you know. It helped in my healing process. And then there's those songs where it's like, not to say that you care less about them, but you have less of a emotional connection to them. You know what I mean? So yeah, and that's kind of how Wagwan started. And then it ended up being a song that I was like, okay, I love this song.
So are you from the islands?
No, I'm not. And that's another thing. It was just kind of like a random idea I had, you know. I'm not from that.
No, but that's fine, because it honestly makes me think about like, Beyonce right now. She crossed over into a completely different genre. She's in country, hits the number one charts, and it's like no one's surprised. What are your thoughts about that? Just hitting different genres. Are you wanting to do that with your music and like Beyonce, baby? What?
Yeah. No, Beyonce definitely took the leap of faith and it obviously worked, you know. I'm a huge advocate for switching it up and doing different things. I have not to get too much into it, but I have so many songs. You know, I was working on an indie rock album at one point.
Oh, what?
It's a long thing, but I went and played the drums for a year just to learn it. I can play the guitar a little bit now too, which is sick. To answer your question, I am a huge advocate for stepping out of your comfort zone at every possible occasion, anytime that you can. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be doing that as humans, you know, whether it's music or a new profession or anything. Like, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I try to put my hands in as many pots as I can because you never know what people might like and you never know what you might like at the end of the day. So
facts. And normally people are like me where I might know a little rock. We always want Avril Lavigne back in the day. We love Pink, but we also love Rihanna and we love Beyonce. So to your point, people can love an array of genres. Kind of speaking on Beyonce, so she's never won the album of the year, but we know that she's had all the different accolades around that. And it made me think about the Oscars that recently aired, because in the 22 years of having the Best Actress Award, we've only seen one Black woman receive the honor of Actress of the Year, and that was Halle Berry. But because of these type of situations, a lot of entertainers say that they don't define their success on awards or numbers or anything of that nature. So I'm curious, you know, you as an entertainer, how do you define your success in a world where in entertainment, you might not get the accolades that you might feel you deserve?
You know, that's an interesting question, because I think that the only thing that really can define my success is, you know, when it's all said and done, how I feel about the impact that I had on other people. I think the biggest thing that I could gain more than a piece of silver or any kind of award is literally just the impact that I have on people. I don't care if it's one person, 1,000 people, 1,000,000 people. If my music can help one person get through whatever they're going through, you know, that's really all that matters to me. And also, you know, let's just say it doesn't help anybody. You know, as long as it helps myself, you know, heal and I don't like the word cope, but heal and cope, you know, through whatever traumas that I may have gone through in the past that I wanted to speak about on said record, you know, that's what I define as success. Yeah, the money and the power and the awards are all great and everything. And, you know, both can happen simultaneously. But, you know, I think that success is all in the eyes of the beholder. I think that as long as I impact people in a positive way, that's all I can ask for.
You know, it's interesting because like you and Rhymefest have similar thought processes. And I can also see why Golden State Entertainment gravitated to you guys, because you guys are like, you get it in a sense of you want to make good music, and how it's received, perceived and awarded. It is what it is. Like, you're going to make your music, you're going to have your rollout, and you're going to put together this project that you have. So when people hear Things Left Unsaid, basically, what should they be taking? Like, what would you hope in the best case scenario that they take from that project?
The best case scenario I hope that they take from this project would be, man, this dude is dope. We need to go dive into his catalog, you know? Because I'm going to be honest, I think after Things Left Unsaid, which is a 6-song EP, I think I'm going to kind of pivot a whole different direction as far as like the sound of it. I don't think the next thing will be so much love based. It'll be more so a little more introspective, you know, and I think that's really what we're gearing up towards. You know, like, yeah, we're doing the EP now, but, you know, as far as we were talking about rollout, this rollout is for the bigger rollout, you know, that comes for the next project, and the next project will be the bigger rollout for the next one. So I hope that what people take away is, you know, the music is dope, and I'm somebody that they should be looking out for, and that's it.
Mason, I appreciate you joining me. April 5th, y'all. April 5th, Things Left Unsaid. we all been in a relationship. So I see what you did there in a sense of whether it's the good, the bad, or the ugly. We've been a part of it. All of us have been in relationships. I see why Golden State Entertainment gravitated to you, because there's a thought process there. There's a energy about it, not just the athlete to artist energy like C-Suite 21, but there's an energy about you that I can feel through here. So I wish you none but the best. I'm going to be bumping it in my car, because that's how I got to hear. The first time I hear it, I got to hear it in the car, because there's a different energy when you hear it in the car. But I appreciate you joining me, Mason.
Yeah, and thank you guys so much for having me. This was great. And this is actually my first podcast. So
let's go.
I really appreciate it.
Man, I love hearing people on their grind, and that's exactly what Mason and all these other athletes that are competing in the Final Four are on. This is dreams coming to life. This is all the hard work, all those ugly hours, all those moments where you were in the studio by yourself, in the gym by yourself, or just even thinking of where you wanted to be, the goals you wanted to create. Man, March seems like a time where people are just seeing their dreams realized. Even the Atlanta Dream, man, we had a dope meeting today and the vibes are real. We're 6 weeks away from our first game. It's crazy. The draft is April 15th. It's just a crazy time right now, and it's exciting all around in sports and entertainment. And we're going to keep you locked in with it every week, because it's a generational thing here at MoCo. See y'all next week.